We are all evil in some form.
I lived in my own little fantasy world when things got too heated.
We are live. We're in there. Welcome to the podcast, folks. A few things right out of the gate, right up front, right out of the stable, as if I was a horse. I got to tell you, this is exciting. We're heading on a new journey in podcasting, and I've gotten many requests, and I don't see them all the time because, you know, who goes and reads reviews? You got to be a crazy person to do that. But I have seen people say that I should get somebody to do true crime podcast with, and I decided to bring my sister on board. And today we got some real interesting things to talk about. Now, this might not be a continuation here at American Crimes, but we will, and I will, make sure that you are aware as to what the podcast will be and where you can find it. But for now, this is American Crimes, and we're going to talk about just some recent crimes as well as some documentary and all that stuff, because a lot of it's been coming out. Specifically, this trial for the Chris Watts. But I got to tell you about this case that this podcast that I love so much did recently. But welcome to the show, Shauna. This is
thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, crime. You know, we're good to talk about crime. We
it
have
happens
pretty
every day.
Yeah, and we have good banter on it. I feel so
good knowledge, good general knowledge, and shit. We keep
interest,
our
interest. Yeah,
yeah. We keep our ear to the streets. We know what's going on.
Yeah. So, this case that I've kind of been hinting at, this case that I wanted to tell her about before she got here, and happened to be listening to a podcast, because there's so many great true crime, and it's called Small Town Murder, so a big shout out there, check them out, Jimmy Wisman, James Petrogallo, and this case was, I've listened to almost every episode they've done, and this case affected me differently, you know, there's been some gruesome ones, and you know, James always warns you as you get into the episode. He's like, hey, guys, this is going to be gross. Like, he'll tell you that shit. So
it's always good to have a warning.
Yeah, but it doesn't take me away from still.
Even when you get the warning, you never think it's going to be that crazy.
Right. Exactly. And you're like, I got it. I can handle
it. Okay, he's warning me, so prepare myself. But still, it's still something outrageous.
Yeah, and eventually you have to be like, well, it's nice to find out that you did have a limit. We're like, oh, this is because okay. They talked about this one case a while back where this guy's legs got broken and shit, like torture. He was alive, but this case took place in Arizona, which is where these guys live. It was in Golden Valley, Arizona. And this, you might look at me like I'm looking at reading something. No, this is from my head. So get ready. It stopped me in my tracks. Like, so I'll listen to shit, and watch stuff, and just be living life. That's where you forget. You know, you're like, oh, I think I should rewatch that. And I was doing that. I was just kind of living life. And I was like, oh, wait, I got to listen. You know, it's where you push your headphones in a little deeper. So
it's intense.
And these guys are comedians, too. So they always try to have a funny perspective on it, which I love. But they ended up going in on this story. And it's not what it is this trailer area, you know, these not so well-off people. They didn't have running water or electricity, okay? They lived in a property that also had this trailer, okay, just on their property as well, a travel trailer. And these were nice people, though, right? These are people that they weren't well off, but they would still say, hey, you can stay. You can stay here. You can sleep right there, whatever. They were that type of people. So they would bring in riffraff, and sometimes that leads to really bad things, okay? And one of the kids ends up befriending this kid named Poison. His last name is Poison.
I should tell you right off the bat that
no shit. It's like
not good news.
Yeah, what is his first name? Snake? What the fuck's happening?
Like, really?
Is if there's any other warning, you know, for
Venom.
Sure.
Venom.
But it was spelled P-O-Y-S-O-N, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is.
This kid's, he's large. He was 19, okay, a big dude. And he got offered to stay. He got offered to stay with them in their place. He needed somewhere to go.
Even though they didn't have running water, he wanted to stay
that's
there?
What I'm yeah, that's how desperate some of these other people were. And you're kind of in the middle of nowhere where they the people had a son, right? A 14-year-old son who would walk 5 miles and then get on a bus to then get to a school. So
right.
Yeah, that's how... yeah.
Wow, bumfuck.
Yeah. So they also invite this dude who's like 48. His name's... man, I can't even think of the dude's name. Anderson, maybe his last name. Anderson? Tim? Maybe? It's just generic name, but he looks like a creep, right? Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the podcast thus far. This is our first episode we've done together. We have another one in the bag. We're just not sure where we're going to be releasing them. We kind of are working on a name and then a general idea. The newer episode is going to be much better than this. We just threw this together. Random ideas, random recording, but I do hope you enjoy it. If you do, show your support by sharing, liking, subscribing, telling friends, and leaving nice reviews, as well as joining the Patreon. Patreon.com/podculture. $3 membership, guys, and honestly, that's where I was going to release this episode. But hey, here you are. You got it. Let's get back into this. So, this 48-year-old dude who's also like a guy running from the law or some shit like this, he shows up at this property as well to live, and he's got like a 14-year-old girlfriend. He says they're
good Lord.
Yeah. He says that they are father-daughter. They end up taking off at one point with somebody's truck or something like this to try to get to Chicago. The dude claimed that he had ties to the mafia in Chicago. And basically, it all boils down to they don't make it. So, yeah, there's this, you know, this old man, this 19-year-old dude who's large. Like, he's a big dude. The 14-year-old son that lives there with his mom and dad, or some, I think they're mom and dad, yeah. Of course, these aren't good people, you know, they need somewhere to go, and I would imagine they probably exhausted all their other options, so they said, hey, you know.
How do we know they're good people?
I'm saying they're not.
Oh, I thought you said
no,
these are
good. I said
good
we
people.
Know they're not good people.
Oh, gotcha.
And it basically gets to a point where they tried to take off to Chicago. He didn't have enough money, this Tim Anderson fellow, the older guy. So they come back, and their plan when they come back is to steal this new truck that this family has gotten. You know, the... I can't even think of the kid's name. Delahunt? That was the last name of the boy.
What are all these strange names? Where was this? Golden...
Golden Valley, Arizona.
Golden Valley.
And like I said, this
stay
kid...
Stay away.
This kid didn't have running water in his house. The 14-year-old, right? The one that lived there. It was his house. He was so pissed when his parents would keep bringing fucking people in.
Like, why? First of all.
Yeah, we don't have anything, and they're taking what little we have. We don't have water, dude. And these fucking... What?
Were they on drugs?
No, they were just nice people. I don't...
That's
you know
weird.
Yeah.
Homeless people help homeless people, I guess.
Essentially homeless. They had property. You know what I mean? That was all...
I mean... But
I, yeah, it was
no
the lowest rung. The lowest
food?
Rung of the low, but they were still... that nice of people to say, hey, we'll look out for you in a way. You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's beautiful. That's why it's, it adds to the tragedy. Because, like I said, they come back, and their plan is to take this truck. They want to get this fucking truck. And somehow, they lure the 14-year-old boy, who, like I said, walking 5 miles to school. He was getting made fun of in class and all that because he was the smelly kid, of course.
Well, yeah, he didn't have any water.
He would stay indoors and draw comics. Very good. He was good at that shit. And, like, I believe his last name was Delahunt. Ralph, maybe. And for some reason, the 19-year-old dude and the 48-year-old man decide to attack this kid in that second trailer on the property. So the travel trailer.
Is anybody in the original trailer when this happened?
Yeah, his parents. They're listening to the radio.
Wow.
And they're in this trailer, right? The three are in this trailer, and they attack the boy. And the first thing that happens is the old man, the 48-year-old Tim Anderson, slices at him with a bread knife and catches his neck, but not enough to really do damage other than to make the kid be like, what the fuck is going on? In which the 19-year-old jumps on him, you know, the 14-year-old, and starts bashing his head into the floor.
Wow.
Punching him. And they eventually, you know, he's unconscious this whole time. They take that bread knife and they proceed to shove it into his ear, and it comes out of his nose.
How the hell?
And still conscious. And he's screaming, losing his mind, of course, like asking, what the fuck is it? Why are you doing this?
That's ridiculous.
The night they now both men start pounding him, and eventually he does lose consciousness when the 19-year-old bashes his skull in with a rock.
Wow.
Right. Now his parents are indoors, so they're there on the property listening to the radio while their son is being crushed.
That's ridiculous.
You know, literally crushed, you know, and for nothing. What? And to me, what baffles me about crimes in this manner is it's always like, I don't understand why there has to be more victims than essentially necessary. If their idea is get this truck, what is the point in killing the random kid? You know what I mean? Other than, oh, who's going to tell? I mean, how many people have held in secrets sheerly out of fear?
That's very true.
Right?
Very
I mean,
true.
Come on. You got to at least give somebody credit in that aspect.
Right, because, I mean, who knows? They could have threatened him.
And in a lot of ways, they are always killed because of that. Like, oh, yeah. They're going to tell, or they saw me, or whatever. And that's so crazy to me because it's like, dude, what if I just, like, didn't say anything ever? You know what I mean? Like, there is a possibility that that is an option. If I just saw you kill my parents, right? Like, I'd be like, yeah, I'll be quiet. You know, you'd have a certain, you know, there's a feeling there. Like, yeah, maybe I will be quiet.
I mean, when your own life is at stake, and that I'm sure
at
that's
least
exactly
for the moments,
what it was.
Yeah, long enough for you to get away without killing another person.
Right.
But they killed a 14-year-old boy, and then they...
Makes you wonder, maybe it wasn't...
Listen, it gets crazier.
Oh, I was going to say, my conspiracy is, you know, they're taking this truck, and I'm sure that's what, like, he's... Oh, you know, don't take the truck, right? But there had to have been more to that. It couldn't have just
no,
just been
he was the truck. He was saying, why are you doing this?
Right.
He didn't know why.
Exactly.
Like, he just got lunged at and sliced. Oh. What the fuck? And, I mean, this went on for 40 minutes. Like, 45 minutes this kid was being pummeled.
Wow.
But then they obviously still want to get this truck. They still, it's just a stupid situation. And all of it is. You know, there's never a time where it's like, oh, that was a good situation for murder other than, like, self-defense. You know, when a killer bursts in your house and for some reason you get the, you know, the better of him. Fucking, yeah, good for you.
But
how many
killing
times
somebody
that
like that is just, why? No reason.
Yeah, for
really no reason.
Because you're poor? Get it together, bro.
We're all struggling.
You got feet, bro. And a map. Like, that's as good as it gets. Like, you don't, most people don't need anything
common
else.
Knowledge.
Yeah. They fucking walk. Rest. Get some water. Like, come on. But anyways, they still, like I said, they need this. They want the truck. They don't need it, of course. But they devise a plan to somehow get snuck in the house by the girl. The
14-year-old, yes.
Yeah, okay. So she sneaks them in because they're covered in blood. They get clean. They get closed. They get closed, and they see a rifle. They notice a rifle in the house. So what do? They get the rifle, they sneak it outside, and they have to figure out how to get bullets. So they devise a plan to go talk to the neighbor. And a little girl answers the door, and she's like, what do you need? Why? Why do you need them bullets, you know? And somehow they get them. And then this is kind of where I was just like, all right, I'm going to go look at, I need to see these dudes' faces.
Right.
I need to see, I kind of was interested in the crime scene itself, like where it took place. And the property and all this, because everybody dies. Like, the dad tries to get away. They're fighting in sheer darkness because there is no lights. There's no electricity in this house, like, right?
This almost
dark.
Sounds like a real life. They're the strangers.
They're fighting. I mean, imagine fighting by the blast of shotgun, like you of a rifle. That's all you can see is the flash of the muzzle, and you're trying to, oh, there he is now.
Right.
Awful. The dad ends up being found outside because, you know, he tried to escape somehow and just save himself. But like I said, listening to that, this is one of the few times, listening to the way that boy was killed was just horrendous. The fact, I mean,
40.
Yeah, I would be so mad at them for not taking so long.
I swear, if I don't die in like a minute when I die,
I would be mad.
Like, why?
Like, I would be mad.
This
that
is
it
my
took
time.
So
let me die
yeah,
right
why,
now. Why?
Why does it hurt more? No, why does it have to hurt so much more now? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Let's make it quick. Let's get it going.
That's the one.
So stupid.
That's the one part is like, if you're gonna kill somebody, just boom, get it done with.
Yes.
Rather
yes.
than that, the people who have to torture, there's something absolutely wrong with them.
Right. I mean,
that's like you said, going back to. This is about self-defense, you know, that's okay. You know, it's justified
yeah.
or justifiable murder, whereas this is just straight up fucking homicide.
Yeah. It's, and for a truck to get away with your 14-year-old wife.
quote unquote.
Yeah, so I look at these guys, right? I literally just stopped really listening to the podcast and started reading about Arizona death row inmates. And whatever website I was on was showing me their pictures, and most of them had a pretty good amount of information as to why they were there. And that's how I found the dude. The girl in the crime, everyone's been arrested, but the girl got out. She's free now. The 14-year-old, she's free.
When did all this happen?
I don't even know. I'd have to look it up again.
But she's free. What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
she's out. She got arrested for a little bit, and she ends up going free, but the other two got life sentences. They were going to die.
She got an accomplice charge or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aiding and abetting.
But because she turned state's witness or some shit, right? Like,
oh,
she
turned on him. Gotcha.
Yeah. So that benefited her, and also she wasn't really involved.
And she was underage.
Yeah. But I guess she got pregnant by dude. Yeah.
Oh,
so fucked up. But anyways, like I said, my mind went other places after hearing this, because just the murder of this kid, I needed to see these guys' faces. Because
right.
It's like, God damn, this is the type of motherfuckers you want to run into and be like, so what's up? What's up, dude? Because a bread knife is, it's a shredded blade.
It's really,
it's
yeah.
not a clean slice type of deal. It's shredded. So, I mean, imagine,
and
that's like a saw.
And honestly, it's like, it's not made for cutting. Not anything hard, like skin. So, like, he had to really have some force in it to even cut him.
Yeah.
And then,
you know
what
the guy tried to say that he was high on weed?
I cannot.
Yeah, and what's so funny about that is this is back in, like, I think the 90s, early 2000s or some shit when it was still illegal. So it was horrible weed.
Right.
Real bad. And so there's no. He said he's on PCP and shit and being homeless. Like, bro, no. Because all the premeditation with cutting the phone line or something, they cut something at the house. He made the plan to get the bullets. It's all premeditation.
Right.
You made up a story to get. Come on, dude.
Literally to go to that house. Like I said, this sounds like a real life. And you know what? Actually, I believe The Strangers was based off of a true story.
Yeah, I could see that. Some of the best ones are, you know, those early.
I mean, it might have been inspired, not based.
Inspired
by true events. Actually, you know what? If you go on there and look, I bet it says inspired by true events. And that's actually exactly why watching that movie is I will never live in the woods. Or live in, like, go to a cabin alone or shit with anybody, honestly.
What the hell do we watch? He's Out There. Okay, it's on Prime. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay. I just kept making jokes because there's, like, this one. It's a one guy thing. It's just one dude. He ends up showing up at one point. He's outside just waving into the window. I'm like, I just went outside right then. What's up, dude?
Like,
what
why
the
are you out
yeah.
here?
Get off my property. Goodbye.
Because that's weird.
Yeah. thank you guys again for tuning into the episode and staying with us this far. It does mean the world for you to support us on Patreon, subscribing, telling friends, helping the show grow, bring people into this world. I'm sure you're interested in the subject matter, otherwise why would you be here? And on top of that, you know somebody else who's also invested. As I said prior, the new podcast or whatever's going to happen with this, you guys will definitely be aware. We're going to try and start our own thing. But other than that, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But let's get back into it right now. Just follow him. You're one guy. You're one,
one guy.
Fucking guy.
One guy.
That's so bothersome to me because never throughout the movie did it feel like there was multiple dudes, but he still ended up murdering like way too many people in this cabin. You're like, what
for
the
it to be one person?
Yeah, one dude? Get out of here.
Was it only one person?
It was one guy.
Oh, my Lord.
The whole time. I was so mad. I was like, as soon as he's waving outside the window in the middle of the night, I'm going, what's up, dude?
Every time.
How are you not going outside? I grew up in the trailer park, so I'm like, I have to go out. Why are you on my property, guy? It's late, you know?
When I see movies like that, when they're so serious, I just think about how quick they are. All these murderers, like even watching Halloween, like Mike Myers, how was he so quick behind him, but then hides really fast? Can you just imagine him just like...
Yeah, just scurrying away. Yeah,
with his knife in his hand, just scurrying. Like, oh, gotta hide.
Right. I like to also not even just picture like those type of characters from horror movies doing things like that, but also like Marvel characters. I'm always wondering, like, what's the Hulk shit like? Yeah. You know, how's he getting to a toilet anyways? What kind of, how? Because
he'd have to power down.
Does he?
He has to.
But what if he eats as the Hulk and then powers down and he's Bruce Banner? What kind of shit is that? Is Bruce Banner going to die?
That's like a thorough question that would have to go into asking about.
All right, guys, so we'll be starting a whole new podcast.
Like, about the Hulk's character. You'd have to,
We're just going
to
call it Marvel shit.
It's marvelous.
Yeah. All right, so this case, like I said, inspired me to look at Arizona death row inmates and all these crazy cases. And, of course, these are all sick looking. But I went down a crazy rabbit hole of looking at other state death row inmates and looking into what they've done and all this shit. And let me just say, they all should be there. All of them.
Exactly.
You know? I will tell you, one of them that really freaked me out, and I want you to go ahead and you have your phone near you. Can you jump on the tube? Go to YouTube. It should show his name. Maybe the next video. That
just kind of like walks off. I mean, she went with him.
He put it. He goes up to her. It looks like he's scolding her for some reason. It's the back of some place. I don't know. But yeah, she's gone. She's dead.
So it's 2004.
Yeah, that dude just got something happened.
He looks Hispanic.
Yeah, I forget his name, but I found him on there. He's on death row as well, but that's the CCTV footage
Joseph
of him.
Joseph Smith.
There you go. Kidnapping that.
Yeah, that's what's right underneath it.
He put her phone in his pocket first. Like, he takes it, puts it in her pocket, grabs her by the arm.
In the video?
Terrifying, yeah.
Let me watch it again.
That's where I found myself, too. I was like, fuck.
He did put something in his pocket. Yeah, because she was walking like she had it on her in her hand.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That was her way, that's fucked up. He killed her. She's 11.
Wow.
So,
she was 11, this girl?
That's the nightmare, yeah. Yeah.
Hold on, what?
Yeah.
This girl does not
look
11.
Type it in again. 11-year-old Carly Bruscia.
No, this is it, but I'm saying this girl does not look 11. She looks at least 16 to 18. What? And where is this? Like, the back of her school?
Yeah, she's 11. She was born 1992. She died 2004. 11, right?
That was my age.
Crazy, huh?
Same age as me.
So, that's a nightmare. I mean, that's the absolute fucking worst thing ever. Now, what to watch, which of course is fucking terrifying, is this girl being kidnapped right on camera.
literally just walked up to her, took her hand, and walked away.
Yeah. And it makes me think about, like, the Adam Walsh case. You know, he was playing a video game in a store, and somebody just came up and, like, took his hands. Because kids are so susceptible to what they consider an authority figure, and it simply is someone bigger than them. You know? Like the story of those two young boys that took the 2-year-old or whatever to the railroad tracks.
Yep. Yep.
Shit like that. It's like, just they're so trustworthy. So let's talk more about this Watts and Trial 4. Because that's really why we came to this conclusion of doing a podcast. Because we had similar thoughts about this Trial 4 and kind of the subject matter that's, you know, the middle of it all. Where it's simply bad cops or negligence on justice, period.
So much.
Now, this is just my... I'm going to hit you with this first. This is a question I want you to answer, but not yet. How many actual killers have played this game and gotten away where they spend all this time trying to prove their innocence, but they were the killer? Have they gotten off where they let somebody go in a manner like this, right? Okay, and then here's this. Filthy cops, okay? This is not new.
Never.
For years, major police agencies were planting evidence, stealing money, falsely accusing or arresting people, and murdering, okay? And what's annoying about that shit is, again, it's not new. But yet, it's never an option. It took so long for them to start having that, internal affairs happening in any agency whatsoever. Now, this is what I think here, too.
It's like the newer generation knows the system is corrupt.
Yes.
And broken.
Yeah. And like I was telling my buddy the other day, it's simply everyone is for themselves, okay? Because if you can find somebody who's living...
Especially the government.
But if you can find somebody who's living as low as that Delahunt family or whatever that didn't have electricity, didn't have fucking water, they're living the way that they're living, whatever, and they're still willing to give somebody everything that they have to help
and
them get...
Somehow, because they are good people, somehow they're the ones that die?
Yes.
What? What kind of life is that? It's the people that are out here that are killing people that are the ones that need to die.
Okay. And that can make somebody not believe in God. Shit like that can be like, yeah, I don't fuck... If that can happen to those people who are some of the rarest form of people, if they can still get the fucking shit under the stick, then how can we believe in anything, okay?
Right.
Now, what I'm saying there is if those type of people do exist to some extent, now, 95% of everyone else, though, is only for them, okay? You are for you. That's what it is. If you can't come to terms with that, life is not going to be generous to you. If you can't understand that just because you held the door for that dude a second ago, he's not gonna do the same to you, and he might not even say thank you, okay?
Right.
That's just what it is. But if you dwell on it too much, life is going to be rough, okay? Now, coming to terms with that also means that means the people that have the badge or the slogan or the quote that says, we're here to protect and serve, mostly don't do those things.
Neither.
Okay? They don't protect, they don't serve. Because how many fucking times have we known for sure that you've called the cops for any situation and it feels like nothing changed?
Never.
Nothing was different whatsoever. I'm not saying all cops are bad. That's not my argument here. I'm saying that they don't have enough of a, I guess just idea in their mind to say, hey man, we're still fucking people.
Right.
No matter what. So we can be, why can't we be held accountable for some of these things, right? Why not give that an option too? Because if they're so willing to point the finger at the husband of the wife that got killed first, because, you know, they got to look at him first, right? That's typically what they do. Look inside.
Yeah, it's protocol.
They
always look at the person closer to them.
Right. And we know for a fact that there has been a history of dirty cops throughout since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So why are you still not willing to check yourself? That's what I'm saying. That's all it boils down to. Check yourself. Why can't you be held accountable? You are never wrong. That's what I don't get. How are you never wrong? And then now today, and I've never really made this argument out loud on a podcast or anything like that, but I don't get why deadly force is now option one. Mm-hmm. That tells me you are afraid. Every single cop is afraid, dude.
Why?
Most cops are afraid.
They're supposed to be the ones that are more heroic, I guess, more brave.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the
because
protect
if you're
and
afraid,
serve
guy,
means,
take off the
and
uniform.
They're not. Yeah, exactly. Why are you doing this job if you're afraid?
Take off the uniform.
And do you know, this is what I just learned too, did you know that it only takes 6 months of academy training to become a police officer, but it takes to become a police officer and learn the law, to learn to enforce the law, but it takes lawyers umpteen years to be
even
able to
know the laws. Yeah,
to defend
yeah,
the
yeah.
law. You know, what is that?
Prosecute,
these cops are out here just trying to shoot. They don't care.
Okay, quick story. I watched a video recently. You might have heard this news story, but what happened was this officer, one of his first times running the streets, doing the street duty, where he's riding around in his patrol car, and he's called to a location, what looks to be an alleyway, in a nice neighborhood, so not like an alleyway, right? There's fucking nice fences and shit, and there's a lady at the other end of the alley on a blanket with her dog. And as soon as the guy gets out, it's his body cam, and you hear hear him say, ma'am, is everything okay? Everything all right? What are you doing? Type thing, right? And then her dog starts running down the street. She responds, though. She says some shit. The dog comes running down the street. And he says, ma'am, is that your dog? Ma'am, get your dog. Get your dog. Bang, 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 bang.
No reason.
The dog gets within 4 feet of the dude. Like, you can see the dog's eyes. He turns around, goes running back the other way. He barely grazes the dog. Kills the lady.
What? Oh, my God.
Now, there's several questions here, because you have to say first, number one, if you're afraid of dogs, don't be a fucking cop. If you're afraid of dogs,
so
don't
dumb.
Be a fireman.
Don't be a mailman. Don't
Simple,
be anything.
Okay?
Dogs are going to do whatever they
For
want.
For sure. And also, why? Even your general, I guess because of the white trash in me, it's like, you're that scared of a dog?
I would
you
love,
have to shoot it.
I would love to find out that was a service animal.
No.
Because you know, it is known that if a service animal runs up to you, it is because their owner is hurt. And they're signaling
True.
To you to come
yeah.
with them and
That might
help.
Be something else in this case we'd have to actually look at. But yeah. The body cam footage is so crazy because there's so many things there where it's like, this is a dude who's just new to patrolling like that. And again, his first instinct, pull your gun. Bro, you got a belt like fucking Batman and you pull your gun first.
Right.
Doesn't make sense
Not
to me.
Not even Mace.
That's a scared dude.
Yep.
And a lot of these dudes are scared.
Yep.
And that's the last person. And look, here's the other thing too, because I've went to school with guys that I know for a fact are cops now. And they are two different dudes. One of the kids grew up with an acne-covered face, tall and skinny, and was in the band his whole high school career. A dweeb, right?
Yep.
He's a cop now.
Yep.
Okay? Then there's the other kid who played on the basketball team, played on the football team, popular kid from a well-to-do family. Dad was like a firefighter or some shit. He a cop.
And I can tell you, both of those probably are going to pull their gun.
Well, that's what you have to wonder.
Even though they're both...
They're
like
both
they're
there for different reasons.
And they're unique personalities, but I still feel like they're going to be the person to pull their gun, you know, shoot before, you know, shoot first, ask
okay,
questions
but
later.
Which guy, though? Would it be the guy who is more or less the bully or the guy who is more or less the nerd? Because they are both seeking some sort of power.
That's what I'm saying.
The bully is...
They're both ultimately scared.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying. They're both going to pull the trigger.
You're fucking right. Exactly. Exactly.
No
so
matter what personality is, it seems like they're going to do it.
Because there's not middle.
Yeah, it's not even about
Those
race on that
Those are the two guys.
Either.
Those are the two personalities that become officers.
Yep.
The only people that are seeking power at the lowest, the highest level that they could have where they get to carry around a weapon, you know, where
yep.
you essentially hold people's lives in your hand.
Yep.
And again, you have a belt that consists of stuff like, I don't know, a nightstick, mace for sure, pepper spray. Handcuffs?
The way I see
batons?
It.
Batons?
The way I see it, you label him a dweeb. So he's going to grow up and he's become this cop. So what's he going to do? I don't want to say revenge, but he's going to become that stronger person that
yes,
he's not
okay,
going to.
Yes, okay, now hold on.
Or he's still scared that anything is going to trigger him. And then you got that bully who is going to continue to be a bully.
The main question, exactly. The main question is, which of them is going to respect the power they have?
Exactly.
Because the bully has essentially had it. His whole life.
Yep.
So being an officer, he can abuse it, or he can use it to be like, hey, man, glad to be in this position. I'm going to essentially be a good human. And then the same thing with the nerd where he's like, oh, yeah, I finally got power and I want to use it to for the better, you know, to make my like for my community.
I could see like the dweeb doing it, but if he was, I mean, the unprofessional word would be butt hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
But if, I mean, if he was vengeful, you know, if he had that kind of bad heart, you know, thinking like all the I can't think of his name, but you know, the kid who did the school shootings and stuff, whatever they went through, the bullying and what led them to do that, just like Columbine, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. He could it could go either way. He could boss up with the power, or he could go the negative route and abuse that power.
Right.
Again, with the bully, he could assume that power and do good things with that, or he can abuse it. And that's, I feel like a lot of people in power abuse that. I don't care if you're a cop or anything, you're abusing your power because you know you have it.
But it also does say something about the connection. They're both willing to essentially say, hey, I don't want to go further myself in an education by going to college and being the nerd guy and continuing to do band, or being the bully kid athlete who goes and continues to do sports or what have you. I say, I want this power where I will take these, cut these corners, basically.
Yep.
And then you get these half-assed efforts. Now, 100%, I don't believe that all cops are bad, but it's the mentality that a lot of cops have where they say, I am the law,
yeah,
basically.
Yep, I am the law.
And they do it in an unfair manner where people can't respect you anymore. You know, where you're like, hey, dude, you know what I mean? There's bigger fish to fry than, you know, me going seven over or whatever, or having a party or smoking a little weed. You know what I mean? Like,
or
find your fucking priorities, bro.
Left turn when there's construction and 20 other people went left right before the cop. But you are the one that get pulled over.
Exactly. Or me being the guy that has tattoos and ear gauges getting pulled over for, you know, going a little faster. But, you know, granny who's 75 blows a stop sign. No one looks at her twice.
Right.
She's got to run over kids first.
And I will say that very first time I got pulled over, because I've only been pulled over 2 to 3 different times. That very first time I got pulled over, I was very nervous. And I feel like, why? Because what you just said, they're supposed to protect and serve. And this was a few years ago. This was before anything had came into my life about how crazy the cops can be. But just in general, I was still scared. As soon as they approached my car, they had their hands on their gun. Why? Yeah. I was just sitting there. They pulled me over and I was sitting there waiting. I had my license ready for you. Why? Like, I was terrified. And all I got was a ticket. But it was still, like, so nerve-wracking. Why? I'm supposed to respect you because you do protect and serve, but you don't. You want to put your hand on your gun before you do anything else.
Yeah, they want to strike fear. They want to strike fear before being a part of the community. Like, I am you as you are me.
Yep.
And that's what community should be. But they've gotten to a point where, again, maybe they have gotten away with so many nefarious things and they're internally, you know, where maybe trial four situations dudes got put away instead of getting to go free.
Speaking of trial four, I wanted to put out there, if you noticed a quote, one of the officers had quoted and said, even when they see a dirty cop being dirty, they don't do nothing. They protect their own. Like I said, they don't care about, they're protecting and serving each other. They're not protecting and serving their country and their counties.
And yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They're neighbors.
Do you remember that quote though? Yeah. Did you remember him? Uh-huh. Yeah, they're not gonna say anything.
No.
So what they're talking about, that cop being dirty, whether he was dirty or not, nobody's gonna say nothing about it.
No,
not his friends.
Because then it will look bad on them.
Because
that's,
they're dirty.
Like Serpico, I believe the character that was played by Al Pacino in the films is based on a real dude who went and did that shit. He saw that LAPD or something was doing dirty things, and turns out, of course. What do you mean? It would be weird if they weren't. You know, it's at this point. But the last thing I want to say about filthy cops in general is, you know, there, like I said, there's two different kinds of, you know, essentially backgrounds for officers, but there's also the ones that work for the people and the ones that work and try to implement their own ideals. where they have, oh, I feel this way about certain people, or I feel this way about this particular law. So whenever I find someone who's breaking it, well, I'm coming in like a bull in a china shop, essentially. But you also have to believe, if that's the case, that it's not only the cops, but it's the judges, it's the prosecutors.
It's all the way up. It's everything, the whole government.
Hello again, everybody. Just want to check in with you, make sure that you're enjoying this episode. As I said, it's a little unstructured in comparison to what we're shooting for in the future episodes, but we did feel like the banter was good, and as I listen to this, and we're 40 minutes in, I can't help but to say, hey, that's a damn good podcast. Great conversations. Who wouldn't want to listen to that? You know what I mean? So if you're out there, you're listening, you're enjoying it, you can support us. Patreon.com/podculture. You can be one of the few. $3 a month. But either way, thank you guys all so much for tuning in as far as you have. Let's get back into it.
I watched this show, and it's called Designated Survivor on Netflix. And he hashtagged, "The system is broken." Yep. And it is. The system is so broken in every single way. I don't even think the system was ever together.
Well, yeah, when you find out that the judge assigns you a defense attorney, you know, public defender, that person works for them as well. So
they don't work for you. They work for them. Exactly. No. They're there for the money.
Exactly. And money. You know that that's the case when their first thing is to hit you with the most.
I work for you.
And they try to get, what I'm saying is, like, the state and anybody, you know, when you get into trouble like that, they try to hit you with multiple things. The more that they can get, if you overreact while they're putting you in the car, boom, resisting arrest. That's another one. Bang, bang. They hit you with as many as you can, so that way you have more.
One of them has
to. You'll plead to one.
Yep.
You'll get, you know, you'll take the time. That's why it is, I get that there's people that just deny the shit that they do, right? But then there's also guys like this with the trial four that's like, hey, man, I didn't do it. I'm not taking your fucking plea bargain.
Right.
At that point, let's dig a little deeper, man. What's to lose?
I wonder what the plea was, because I wonder if he could have done, like, 10 years. But I know that, he was obviously an innocent person, so he could not do that on his innocent mind to take a guilty plea. No, yeah. Like, I'm not a murderer. I'm not going to let people think or look at me like I'm a murderer. And unfortunately, they still do.
Yeah. I mean,
he's still, like, that whole show, he said people still look at him like he's a murderer.
I'm surprised he stayed where he's at, you know? I'm surprised he didn't.
And they told him to move.
Yeah.
That's right there is, like, that broke my heart a little bit, because it's like, wow, he can't even live in his own community because of this shit.
Yeah. Just some, I don't know. But you also have to imagine that the same amount of numbers of people that say that they're innocent, that are actually innocent, there are those that aren't. But I sort of started with, how many actual killers have played that game and gotten off? Stephen Avery? Because he got free. Now, let's just make him a murderer real quick, okay? So he got free after 18 years.
I think it was 19.
A long time, because of DNA evidence that said he didn't do shit. But he got 20 years. He was in there. He was good to go. He was fine with it. He was essentially probably ready to die in there.
And the same thing with Making a Murderer and Trial 4, both of them, I love Netflix, by the way, because whoever's making these shows are doing a good job. Both of them have proven that there have been other suspects and have not been looked at. In the Stephen Avery, don't you remember when they had, when they did the drawing of him and they tried to push it on the witness and such, and she was like, no, because when they found out the real guy that had raped that woman on that beach, he looked similar to Avery because he had so much scruffiness, but he was distinctively different than Avery. And I'm saying those cops were pushing it like, no, it's Avery. And that was the same thing with Trial 4.
I mean, with Brennan Dassey.
They didn't, like, I don't know. That one right there, I don't know about. Yeah, I mean, that one was just.
At this point, I think a lot of us can agree that there's something to do with that one brother, at least as far as that case is concerned.
Brendan's brother?
Yeah. And that's why I think that there was probably that weird connection there. But again, I have to wonder, there has to be somebody. This is something you could probably Google and get an answer, you know, and find out how many killers have actually lied and said that they were innocent and somehow found out that they were innocent, but they weren't, you know, and they still got out and ended up doing something bad again, because it is so weird to think that somebody that was, like, in Steven's position where he didn't do the initial crime that he was in there for,
right,
to come out and then do a crime that, right, it
that's
doesn't
exactly,
add up.
That's exactly, like, with Sean Ellis, him being released, you know, before he was acquitted, you know, before they finally did trial four, that basically it was like they were letting him be out there as if they wanted him to fuck up. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's basically what they do when they put you out on bond. They are waiting for you to mess up.
Yeah.
And the fact, and I can guarantee this, he will probably never be arrested again unless it's on some bullshit, like,
right,
Stephen Avery.
Yeah, it's a fail system.
Set
completely
up.
It's a, I was going to say, I said it in my head first, but the bracelet, him being put on that monitor,
mm-hmm,
is,
yep,
it's a fail. Like, it's meant for you to fail. You're,
yep,
not supposed to do well on it at all.
Nope.
So when he does, they have to be like, he just held out. What do you mean? Nobody that shoots a cop who's allegedly sleeping in the face five times.
Right.
You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. You know, because that's a fucking aggressive crime.
That is, right.
And you're outside of a 24-hour place. There's other people. You certainly took the weapon. There's too many. You're asking yourself to get caught. It's very, very weird.
Very risky.
You know, you're, yeah. And
my
and
question.
And if he's supposed to be this hardened criminal, this gangster that's selling drugs and all this whoop-de-woo, right? He would know better than to do that, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're going to take his life.
Listen, he also had proof he was getting diapers. Who buys diapers and also murders somebody in the same night?
Yeah, it's two different emotions, I think. Yeah, two different headspaces.
And I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought during trial four that they said that the timeline didn't match up with him buying the diapers and basically when either Mulligan was killed or when they found him, something about 3 a.m., because that's when they said the Rosa,
yeah,
the witness,
yep,
says she's seen Sean at 3 in the morning, and I thought Sean got his diapers at like 10 p.m.
That's what I thought the receipt said, like,
yeah,
9:26 or something.
That's
what
I was,
yeah,
very, very, very confused about,
yeah,
that. That's why
I mean,
yeah,
but you brought up the best points, I thought, when you said the fucking guy's pants were down for sure.
Yes.
He was, of
they
course,
never photographed him.
That too, but the fact that this, if he, why, who patrols this? We have Walgreens, and I've never once thought that a cop patrols Walgreens ever, 24 hours or not.
I remember.
Okay, so what I was saying, your points on Mulligan. You brought up the fact that he wasn't even in his patrol car, as well as the pants, the pictures, and it just made and the fact that he was patrolling a Walgreens, also very weird.
But he's such a good cop.
Yeah,
why are you patrolling a Walgreens?
Yeah.
Weird.
No, yeah, but you're patrolling. Was he even in his uniform?
Nope.
Lots of questions there. You know, like,
even when they did the dramatization, did it look like he had a badge?
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. But obviously somebody knew who he was, and he happened to be and also, to be serviced the way that he allegedly was being supposed to be being serviced, you know?
Yeah.
Why would he park right there?
That's what I was very... And that's... Listen, this was 93 or 91. Which one was it? I can't remember.
93.
Yes. Okay. Where are the video cameras? It's fucking 90s.
Yeah, for
Didn't
sure.
they have surveillance yet?
Yeah, I would imagine if they didn't have doors that had like a handle on it like this, they had cameras. You know, if the doors were electrically operated, by that time they had cameras.
The only, I mean,
and 24 hour operation, I would imagine that's probably one of the things that you're required to have.
That's what I mean. Listen, the whole time I'm watching Trial 4, I'm just,
right,
like, there's no camera.
Yeah.
Because this is 93. I don't care. Like, there were video cameras. There had to have been some sort of surveillance cameras. I don't care about the inside of the store. Tell me about the outside. There should,
yeah,
have been one watching the door. And you could have been able to timestamp when Sean went in, when Rosa went in, when Terrence went in, whatever.
Yeah, because then they also mentioned that there's all these people that didn't want to be in the documentary. You know, you know what I mean? There's the Rosa was one of them.
Yeah.
And that seems so odd. Whether or not she got paid, I just have to know, like, why, if you did lie or just get swayed into saying whatever.
Right.
Why, I don't know, I guess it's maybe just me, but why didn't the investigators even say, you know, it just seems odd that you saw somebody crouching down by a vehicle. It's so, I don't know, it's just so weird to where it's, it doesn't sound real.
No, that, honestly, it does not sound real, but also her identity.
I say, the reason I say it doesn't sound real is because of the way that Mulligan was killed.
No, listen
even
to
if
what
he
I
was waiting to kill him, why the, nobody, the ex, that's an execution, to shoot him up
right.
his nose?
And tell like, me why Rosa should have heard gunshots in the store.
Anybody else should have.
Literally, somebody should have heard those gunshots.
The way, where he was parked, for sure.
But what
right
I was,
by the door.
What I was about to say is that Rosa seeing, first of all, identifying, IDing Sean Ellis as the one crouched by his door.
Yeah, you remember the lawyer?
But let me say, how could she, at 3 in the morning, it's dark. I don't care if there's a light from the store. It's dark. He's crouched down with a hood over his head. How on earth is she going to identify two black men? Differentiate them?
Yeah.
Because it's dark and his head was down. I don't care. Like, there, amount of light, she had to have been so close to him to identify his face, especially contrast
he
to
would
Terrence.
Have had to make deliberate attempts to show his face to her.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't even believe it. It just doesn't make any
no,
sense.
No, honestly, it another thing that makes it sound unreal is the way that they describe them, like in the way of like what he looked like and what he was wearing, because that sounds made up. That sounds like, hey man, give me a description of what you think a black criminal looks like. And they're like, we probably have like a hood on and maybe like a beanie cap.
Yeah,
and right?
Durag.
Like he had white shoes on though. I think they were Jordan 1s.
Right.
Motherfucker, what? You know what I mean? Like it's so vague to the point where you're like, you're just making up what you, if you were to draw a cartoon, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Come on. It's unrealistic. And then the aspect of anybody who kills anybody in this fashion specifically has to be doing more to keep themselves from getting caught.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of elements there with the way that it happened and the stealing of the weapon, for sure. Now, here's another thing I think. Maybe the person that took the revolver isn't the same person that killed him. Because I don't, in my head, believe for any reason that at all that a this isn't the old West where you kill a man and take his weapon.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't do that, especially if you kill a man. Why would you take evidence that for sure links you to him? And then, second, it's in the yard. It's just right there across the... So convenient to be, and anybody who's ever killed anyone and tried to get away with it doesn't put the weapon next door.
My only...
Remember that? They found the weapons right next door.
Yes.
It's so crazy.
And my love, I even pointed this out to other people. Don't you remember Sean Ellis's girlfriend talking about how she went to give her prints and then it was like the very next day. Why is her only... All this manhandling of this gun, even between hypothetically... or what was allegedly... between Sean to Terrence and even Mulligan. Why Mulligan's prints weren't even
sure.
on his own gun, but it was Sean's girlfriend?
Yep.
Okay, stop. But my whole conspiracy is about that, about the woman stating that Mulligan was being serviced. So it was that big guy's name, or I forget his name. He was the one that shot Mulligan, allegedly, while the woman was servicing him. But again... like he was
the guy with the weird name.
Yes.
What was it?
I can't remember. It was like Ice something.
It
ice.
Was too many. Nobody's nickname.
It was like
Icy
Four Bag.
Yeah, dude. Like his real name's like Gary. Gary.
Yeah.
You know,
Robert.
Allen or something, right?
Robert.
Yeah. It's just like a real simple name, but he's like, my nickname's Mr. Q Fire 1621. You know what I mean? Like, bro, that's too much. Is that your Twitter?
Right. But I can understand him if he was like this supposed pimp. I would assume that he would take that gun because he could sell it on the street, right? But how would it have ended up right across the street, you know, from Sean and all that?
Because it's a stereotypical revolver that they all use, so it wouldn't be hard to just be like, oh, this is the one. Look how dirty it is.
That's
right?
a good point. That's actually a really good point right there, especially for the
because
fact that there was no Sean's, there was no Terrence, there was no Mulligan prints.
Yeah.
You know, at least they did not voice that.
Had to be pretty clean.
But it was just this
you'd
girlfriend,
have to,
so they had to link it to her somehow. Like, that's just ridiculous. That's trying too hard. That's exactly like the little blood swab from Making a Murderer. That's trying too hard. Stop.
Yeah.
For what? What has this person done so wrong? actually, you know what? What did Avery do? And what did it wasn't Sean Ellis, but it was the other Sean in Trial 4. What did they do? They filed a suit against the city because they were wrongly convicted. You wrongfully convicted me and you're mad because I'm mad?
Yep.
You fucked up.
Exactly. That's where there's this like, oh, it's me. We protect us. Yep. We don't, you know, we'll do whatever's necessary to make sure that you don't look any further. You don't get a microscope instead of just a pair of sunglasses, you know. Yep. You're kind of seeing things through shade. We don't need you on the microscope, guy. This is fine. We got to get out of here, right? So when it comes down to this, the generalization of this, and then him having to go to trial as many times as he did, and they still decide to say publicly that we know he did this X, Y, Z. It's like, bro, I don't know how. I don't know. I'd be very angry.
Sticking to it,
especially if you've known this entire time that you had absolutely nothing to do with this. In fact, that night your heart was in the right place because you were going to get diapers for your cousin who dies. You know, like they're killed too. And how convenient for the fucking officers in the case to not only say that they didn't even really, like, they had been quoted to say that they didn't know Mulligan. Remember the Robinson dude or whatever? Then he's like,
yes,
he's a real good guy. Bro, you're on tape. What are you talking about?
But I didn't know him that well.
Yeah, stupid.
A decorated officer.
Exactly. And then, like I said, how convenient for all of these things to sort of fall into place where the two cousins are killed. Sean is at the funeral when he gets arrested.
Right.
Like, just so dramatic. They're really trying to make a thing out of this.
Did they ever say what happened to the cousins who killed them?
Yeah, remember that dude gets arrested. There's a guy that gets put away for it.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, that was a scary motherfucker.
But, like, why?
Sure. A gold chain.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. It was the boyfriend. I forgot. Yeah. Yep.
One cousin fought back, sort of.
She had the wound mark. Yep, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so, of course, Sean was in a horrible place, and then for the next 2 decades, he's in an even more horrible place. Like, and
his life literally turned upside down because he got diapers.
And this is what they don't teach everybody. They don't teach you the right way of how you're supposed to handle yourself in those situations. They tell you, you're made to believe that the justice will find itself. You're made to believe that. Yep. That's why so many times they just sit there quiet. They say, oh, it's going to find, it'll work itself out. No, motherfucker, speak up.
Right.
You have to. Otherwise, 2 decades go by, and then you're forever still, by a lot of people, considered this bad guy.
Right.
Right? It's so crazy. A guy with a stutter. The way he speaks, you're just like, oh, you fucking
sweet.
His
attorney, that was the first thing she said about him, too. And she had a lot of good points. But
yeah,
the whole waiting part is the fact that she, you know, had told him he needed to wait. And he did wait. And I believe that he probably didn't pester her. He probably believed in that.
Yeah. I mean, at the young age that he was, from the very beginning, being 19, you have to also think, most of us in the world know for sure that, like, killing an officer in any capacity it's over with, dude.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the worst things you could probably do.
And I don't think he was a dumb guy where he's like,
no,
I'll probably just get away with it, right? With everything, the shell casing, like, there's no.
The shell casings were found in the car.
That's
also,
what I mean.
Matter
there
of
was
fact.
No cleanup by this person who did this, right? So I don't think that it was somebody who gave a fuck about
hey,
it.
Hey, I also had a theory.
Because he knew he could get away with it. You're not going to leave all of these things if you don't have a future plan of getting away with it, right? If you're going to, it's a cop. So to think that somebody's killing a cop, leaving shell, they're not, you're going the extra mile to not get caught for sure, right?
Right.
Anyone. So you have to believe that something else is going on here for there to be this much evidence. Someone else is involved. And they're not willing to look at that person.
No.
They found their scapegoat to further keep themselves from being investigated more.
Yeah. It's just, it's so crazy. Like, I mean, they make shows on this. And I've seen a lot of these shows about these dirty cops and making these innocent people out to be basically murderers and criminals because they're the dirty one. Ooh, and I love karma. You know, karma comes around. Karma loves to come around. And I do believe what you were saying earlier. I do believe in giving out good karma. You know, if I do hold that door out for that man, I hope somebody will hold the door out for me in time come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you give out good karma, you will receive it. Same thing with bad karma.
Yeah, and that's just something that people don't give a shit about when it comes to the law. Like I said, again, it's eye for eye, basically. We got to protect our brother, who was a piece of shit, from the gate.
Right.
I don't give a fuck what anybody... Look at the face on that man. That's
yes.
a garbage human being. You don't yes. look like that and also, I'm going to fuck go to the church. No. He's garbage.
His girlfriend was talking about, he wanted to have sex all the time. Like, really?
He looks like a deviant.
Did you give it to him?
I don't give a shit, man. Stupid name. Everything about him. I'm not glad he's dead, but what a garbage. He sounds like a piece of shit human being.
He really did. Honestly, all of them do.
And here's the weird thing. Nobody was saying that about Sean. There was no one on tape saying Sean fucking sucks, dude. He was 19, number one.
Yeah.
This is a known officer. He's been around. You're telling me that he's been class fucking top of the, come on. The whole time? Not with a face like that, I'm telling you.
Right. Yep.
And for sure they will. If they find some prostitute drug abuser, of course they're gonna use that lady.
Yep.
For whatever they can. Just with threats of, I'll keep you out of jail for tonight. Now, let's just say this here, and we got about 15 minutes or so. This is something I wrote, and it says, the trust in cops has only continued to plummet, right? I mean, how many times have we seen or heard about someone calling the cops and nothing being done? When the neighbor pulled a knife on me, the guy told the cops he would kill me and slammed the door in their faces. And what did they do, man? They just wrote down names and left. Like, cool job, right? It's like they would rather wait until they got a call that I've been stabbed to death for it to matter. The slogan is to protect and serve, and they do neither. I've never felt more protected because of an officer, nor have I, nor anyone I know, felt served by them in any capacity. I've never felt better because X, Y, and Z cop did this or that. I don't go to a festival or a fair and think, wow, thank God the cops are here. Everyone's uncomfortable by your presence because you purposefully, a lot of you, shove it in our fucking faces.
Literally.
You know, and that is unfair. You intimidate. People fear you. And yet, when they take somebody's life, they claim to fear for their own.
Right.
No fucking way, bro. I just don't believe that at any point you're fearing for your life because the guy's in his vehicle. Because the guy's standing on the side of the road. It doesn't make any sense to me. But also, back to the Trial 4 thing, there was a specific group of these officers, you know, the Brazil. It's like, bro, you're Brazil. Just be Brazil because that's what it says. You know what I mean? It's like those assholes. It's like, my name's Christopher. Call me Topher. Bro, you're Christopher or Chris. Don't get fancy, bitch. You live in a trailer park. No. That's a shot. But then Acera, you know what I mean? The MIDI guy, which was the Robinson. Like, all of these dudes certainly had this, like, aura of being a clique together, you know, where we're going to look out for one another. And it's like, motherfucker, you work drugs anyways. How are you going and making all these drug busts, but there's no money? Get out of here.
And what are you doing
now,
over here in this homicide
too.
Business?
I got to talk about this fucking guy. The Chuck Stewart, okay? Chuck Stewart and his wife in the vehicle. He's calling the dispatcher. Wasn't something changed because of that? No. He says, I'm blacking out. I don't know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Come find me. And the dispatcher did. And they show up, and the wife is slumped over. There's cameras there.
Yeah.
And the wife is slumped over.
I've seen the pictures. Oh, my gosh.
Next to him, and he's just going, pain. Like, I got shot too, guys. Mm. Honestly, I think you'd be I don't know. Your wife is dead next to you.
Where was he shot?
I have no idea. I didn't look any further into it, but they found out that his brother had showed up earlier, and there was like a plan to kill her. So he took a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It was a big fake setup thing, and he ends up killing himself. He jumped off a building. That's a bizarre case. Like, what the hell?
She was also pregnant.
Oh, man. Even worse. Again.
Yes, his brother confessed to the police that he killed his wife to collect life insurance and then subsequently committed suicide.
What the fuck? It's so stupid.
That is not the first time I've heard about that.
Right. Everybody, it's about
and
that money, man.
I mean, here's the thing. You're talking about all these people who are getting caught and who's playing this game. Listen, if you're going to do the life insurance game, you got to file that early. You got to wait. You got to be married for 10 years, bro. I don't care. Just deal with it. If that's what you are in it for, do it. Because
right.
otherwise,
right.
y'all just fucking up. You're not smart.
Yeah, and then like for sure make sure that the cleanup, you know, like cleanup, you know, some of these are like, bro, she exploded. You know what I mean? Like you just
let's talk about Chris Watts on that one.
It's where we're going. It's literally the next thing I have
what
right
say?
Here. But no, the Chris Watts thing. Hey everybody, once again, just checking in with you, making sure that you're enjoying what you're listening to, and just reminding you, don't forget, guys, this is a trial episode of a future podcast. I don't know if we're going to continue to do this type of thing here on American Crimes. I'm not really sure what route we're taking, but this is the trial episode, and we do have another episode ready to give you guys, and we'll probably drop that here. And then once we do start that new podcast, you guys will be aware. Thank you so much for the support. And if you want to do that on a greater level, visit patreon.com/podculture and get all of this stuff and feel good about it, right? You get this, and I release some things over there on Patreon, and, you know, things like this would be going on Patreon had it not been for you guys in desperate need of a new episode. So let's get back into it. Thank you so much once again. So Chris Watts, the whole thing with that, and obviously I'm saying this with a little bit of humor, but it is facts. His fucking wife was so much better than that stupid ass mistress.
Really?
She's a banger. She's so pretty. So pretty.
She really was.
Sweetest voice, just a fucking good
mom. And those
mom.
Little girls were
such
beautiful.
A good mom. Oh my God.
Yes.
It annoys me.
Still to this, because of the thing, because of American Murder that came out on Netflix, because of that, I see a bunch of people sharing her original Facebook posts, and one of them do include, it's like a tribute to Chris. Oh, best husband,
ugh.
You know, best friend, best father.
Yeah.
And it just breaks your heart, breaks
yeah.
your soul, and I'm just like, how? I don't understand. Like,
he was
bro.
So stoic.
Bro, like, if
every
you
little home video, he's just like this.
Yes. Oh, the one. Remember? Oh, my God. Don't you remember when this shit was actually going on the news when they're looking for her ass?
Yeah.
And he did that video. He's
yeah.
like, oh, if you can find
yeah.
her.
It's so
please.
Well, let me tell you this. Christina Pajinski, who is the co-host with Tom Segura, comedian, on Your Mom's House, she said that he doesn't look like a killer. That dude didn't smile once in his fucking life that wasn't fake.
And the only time that he ever looked guilty, I guess, because he was so stoic, the only time he looked guilty was when
the videos were played at the neighbors.
Yes. And
yeah.
He turns around and he says, oh, she's pregnant.
Yeah, you put her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. He's like, oh, she's pregnant, by the way. Oh, how far along? 14, 15 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to look at this guy and understand, even though some of these killers can look regular, there's always something. There's
always.
Never not something.
It's in the eyes.
There's always something. And it's... I used to... I purposely would go out of my way and look at these guys and try to see if there is that thing. If it's not as obvious. And most of the time, it's obvious. It's
very.
Obvious. If you know anything about true crimes or crimes in general, it's like you can see...
There's just something
yeah,
off.
There's something
going off
on.
About every single
yeah.
one of them, whether it's in their looks or what happened to them in their life. Something has
right.
been off, like especially
now,
though in the looks.
Exactly. You remember I had mentioned when Watts actually confesses, okay? When Watts confesses. Now, here's the other thing,
confesses
too.
Confesses to her father.
Yes. If in any way, shape, or form she did do something to those kids, which is obviously... No fucking way.
Never.
But if, let's say, allegedly something that she did something, right? It never makes any sense to me when you hear them say, I just had to hide the body. What do you, what?
Why?
Do you mean? Why is that a thing?
No.
If you're doing something in self-defense, there's no you're not culpable. But you still, I don't understand. I have to bury him in the backyard and hopefully continue on with my life. Act like there's, you know, it doesn't make sense.
No,
like,
because
you're texting from their phone, whatever.
If
you
know, like, you did something wrong, if you have that conscience,
in a sense, you're trying to protect the kid,
right? Being good or bad. No, listen,
because what I'm saying is when they make the excuse, like, oh, I'm trying, I hurt them because they hurt whoever.
Right.
It never adds up because you still went and buried them in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's always the case.
Because even
like, oh, I was saving my, he was gonna kill my mom.
Right.
What do you mean?
Even if that were the case, if that were the case, where Shanann was hurting the children and Chris had to save the children, and but why did let me just stop. But the whole thing is he should have still felt bad about it.
He should have called yes, exactly.
Thank you.
But
and
they
called
never
the
do.
Cops.
That's what I'm saying is they just say, oh, I just buried them. What do you mean? Why wouldn't you call the police, you dummy? Even if you were protecting them, call the cops after something happens.
Right, exactly.
But instead they're like, I had to put him in the well and hopefully, you know, 7 years later that you find what?
Yeah, you know, she ran away. What?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I was out of the gate, you say, I was protecting them. You know, you call the cops covered in blood, like she was killing the kids. I mean,
obviously, they're going to, like, arrest you and think the worst.
For
but
sure.
Once they find the evidence, you know, if
the
you are in the
there.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Instead, you cleaned it up and put it in a fucking oil rig. Yeah. But, yeah, with that still, there's that conspiracy of the ghost girl that we debunked.
Yes.
Pretty quickly.
Not a ghost girl.
Yeah.
The
you know,
neighbor's child.
I'll say this. Shanann was so pretty that it didn't make sense for her to have a friend that looked like that. I was like, that's a hillbilly look. Like, what's going on? Her boyfriend with the fucking bun or whatever.
Right.
Just,
you know, the pretty girls always gotta have an ugly girl.
Okay, yeah. And then they're always the best friend, too. They're always very good friends.
Yes.
Like, they're down for you. That's why she came, and she was the first one. Like, this doesn't make sense. And I shout out to her.
Yeah,
you know,
she was
not super.
Solid.
I'm obviously a joke, but you get it. Like, the hair and stuff, the neighborhood. I would feel weird being there. You
right.
Know? Like, what the? They think I'm stealing.
Right.
But still, the ghost girl, I mean, there's, like I said, my first introduction to Chris Watts was the body cam footage, seeing him show up, and you're just like, that's all weird.
Yeah, actually,
the
very
part of that.
Before I even watched American Murderer, it was just when the actual events were occurring on the news, and the very first video I had seen of him was him doing that news little video talking about, can you please help me find my wife and my kids and bring them home.
Right.
And just about how he swayed back and forth and seemed so uneasy. Like, I don't believe you. You know exactly where they're at.
Yeah. Now, there's some new evidence that I've seen recently from the other camera. I don't know if you and I had talked about it, but there was not the other camera, but the same camera, but they actually capture somebody walking out of the garage and driving away in a red car. Now, she seems like some sort of a lawyer, but it's a YouTube channel, and she's the one that found it, and she's talking about it, she's sharing it. She doesn't want to share it with the family of Shanann and what have you, but it looks to be some woman walking out of this garage. It's definitely a fucking woman, for sure. You can literally see it. It's the same camera angle where the truck, but, you know,
isn't that where
blurred.
They're saying it's the girlfriend?
Yeah. And it for sure has a ponytail, whatever, red car. And here's what they say.
And it could not be
Shanann.
Here's
what they say, though. They say that she's involved. Okay, this is the theory.
Yeah.
They say she's involved, and she was supposed to kill the kids. Now, how odd is it to think that you would ask, if you're, I mean, of course, the worst of the worst to think you, to kill your children, but would you make someone else do it? It's just so odd.
The fact that she agreed to it?
Okay, but hold on, this too. Now, apparently she
That's
does
who
it.
You wanna
now
be
apparently
with?
She does it, right? But
Allegedly.
Then, hold on. Apparently she does it, but she doesn't kill him because they come walking into the bedroom alive.
And that's when they see Shanann.
No.
No?
So that's. I don't know for sure if that's
that
what
was
they
Chris's.
Say.
That was his statement was that. Basically, when he killed Shanann, she was lying on the bed, and the eldest had came in there and was like, what's wrong with mommy? And he was like, she's asleep.
Oh, well, that if that was his...
So he did
yes.
confess that one of the daughters did come into the bedroom.
No, the theory is that the kids were already the new theory, the what everyone is saying now, is that if this girl is involved,
right.
she tried to kill the kids and they didn't die. So Shanann was probably already dead when the girlfriend's there, or not even there yet. The wife.
That would make sense, like,
because
she did.
Yes,
Shanann
because
came
that's
home
why
at
she
like 2 in the morning or something.
In the red car and is caught on film at that time, in that hour. Because remember that she shows up with her friend.
In the middle of the night.
And
with
also
luggage and stuff.
Also, if you notice, if that is if that's a stabilized, like, Ring door camera, right? If that's stabilized on the door, it shouldn't be moving. But if you watch the camera, it moves. Like, somebody's filming her coming in, and it's not the camera on the door.
I didn't notice
okay.
that.
Now listen,
I really
listen.
Thought it was
listen,
the...
But
I mean, it seemed a little bit far
it
away.
It moves real big at one point where you're like, that's too much for it to be a wind issue, right?
Well, I mean, I was... My thing was I thought it was one of those doorbells. But,
yeah.
Again, it seemed kind of far away to be a doorbell.
I don't know, pretty wide frame. But anyways,
back to the
children. Allegedly, she has tried to kill them, mm-hmm. and they didn't die, and they came in the room alive, and then Chris had to kill them too. So, like, what a fucking... I mean, how haunting would it be where you're like, hey, can you kill my kids? And then she tries, and then they come in alive, and you're like, fuck.
The psychology
behind that is so maddening, because nobody knows what the fuck happened in that house, but... Maybe the girlfriend, but definitely him.
The other evidence that they had was phone calls between Chris and this girlfriend.
Right.
Obviously they could have been staged. Like, hey, we're gonna talk about this on this phone. Like, they could have been sitting right next to each other when they had this conversation, because it was when they the.
But that's you saying sort of that they were smart enough to think this far ahead.
Almost. Because, I mean, the conversations that they had on these phones, the ones, because I believe they played them on TV.
I think they're stupid enough to just...
But they basically, he was telling the girlfriend, like, hey, because he was on TV, like, telling the world his wife and kids are missing. When he told this girl, they were dead already. You know what I'm saying? He was saying that he was widowed. His wife was dead, and he didn't even have the kid. Yeah, so that was the weird part about those phone conversations.
So
that was after
there's two
the
options
fact.
There. They're either that fucking dumb, or they're that smart.
Right.
Okay? And I think it is the latter, because he got caught so fast.
Yes, he did.
Immediately. Just no time.
The same day, really.
Yeah, no time
he had
to
just
fucking live that life that he wanted so
no,
bad. That's
because,
the, that's
hey,
kind of the best.
That's where you go and you say props to that best friend right there, because I
yeah,
hope I got
sure.
somebody solid in
no
my
shit.
Life. I'm gone for 15 hours.
Yeah.
You better come
yeah.
check on
that's
me,
it.
Please.
That's it. If you don't hear it, yeah.
15 hours. That's not even a day, bro.
And today we have that kind of ability because of how much people are online.
Yes. Yes.
So if somebody is lacking for that amount
and it's
of time,
also,
it's
I think
suspicious.
It was also like just if you know that person and you know when I text them, they're gonna text me back. When I call them, they're gonna answer.
Well, yeah, but
that type
was
of relationship,
posting, like videos and
that,
all that on Facebook,
yes.
updating all day long.
Yes.
So it's that became suspicious quick.
Whether she was
good.
Tired or sleepy all day or not,
exactly.
she was probably.
Exactly.
I don't care
something.
if I'm in bed, I'm probably on Facebook.
Right. And luck of the draw that it worked out that way, because. Who knows how long it could have been?
Yes.
Had it not been for her, just I mean, Shanann herself.
Him and the girlfriend could have gone.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Exactly. And they would have never even found these, you know, bodies.
But
I guess.
I bet if Shanann was not pregnant, maybe it would have gone more as planned as
you
Chris
think?
Wanted. I guess because think about it, if
all he wanted was just to get away and live this other life with this woman, that's so easy.
Literally, you could
know.
Just go.
I don't understand that's the, like, hey, they have to die.
How many, literally, how many fathers break
again,
up their families for that?
And
okay.
it just shows you how ignorant they are if they say, well, if we just kill him, we'll just get away with it, right? Like, that's a thing that happens. People do that all the time.
Never.
No, what the fuck? This is caveman times? But, yeah, I think let's close it out. We did good. This is fucking hour 25, so.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I looked troubled at times, other times I looked moody, other times perfectly serene, not very sane, but again, people weren't even aware of what was happening. Their picture window open, the curtains open, 11 o'clock at night, the lights are on, all they have to do is walk by, look out, and I've had it.
They are a product of the times, and these are bloodthirsty times.
Are you so afraid?
That I've come full
stuff that they wouldn't show in X-rated adult theaters 30 years ago.
Just my own little world where I had control.
Just my own.
Even psychopaths have emotions if you dig deep enough. But then again, maybe they don't.
you know, we could say it was something that simple. I don't think it was.